we're back to episode 4 of Comic Book Obscura. I'm your host, Tony, and today we're going to go into not as obscure of a character. I know a lot of comic book fans probably have heard this name at least once or twice before, and he's also had some cartoon appearances, and he's also appeared in at least one video game that I can remember. We're talking about Marvel's character, the supervillain, well, I don't know about supervillain, but villain, Arcade. He's had appearances in the X-Men Evolution cartoon, as well as Ultimate Spider-Man. And if you remember back in the years of Super NES, there was the game, which I played, never beat, Spider-Man the X-Men Arcade's Revenge. Quick history on this character. He was created by Chris Claremont and John Byrne, and his first appearance was in Marvel Team-Up issue 65. His backstory is pretty much unknown. They don't really give a lot of detail. But in his career as a villain, he's battled Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, Excalibur, X-Factor, the X-Men, Iron Man, and Captain Britain. I think with Arcade, he's pretty much, it feels like he was created specifically to be just a certain kind of villain. I don't think they were really interested in some kind of backstory motivation. I mean, I think he was basically supposed to be just a themed assassin. From what little backstory there is, he came from a rich family, and at the age of 18, murdered his father to inherit the fortune. For whatever reason, he became a freelance assassin after that and increased his fortune. And when he created his first murder world, which is basically an underground lair full of, like, it's a underground amusement park lair where all of the attractions can kill you. Well, they're supposed to try to kill you. They're full of death traps that are supposed to exploit the weaknesses of his targets, and the price for his assassinations are $1 million each. Unlike most villains who use death traps, Arcade usually builds his murder worlds with each trap having some means of escape. Like, it's very slim. Like, if you do manage to escape it, it's very hard, but he always leaves some way for you to get out if you can figure it out, or if you're strong enough to hit the button or whatever it is. And the most recent storyline with Arcade, called Avengers Arena, he kidnapped, I think it was part of the comic books, the series Avengers Academy, and the storyline was called Avengers Arena. And in this, Arcade kidnapped 16 young heroes and then dropped them on an isolated island, which he had converted the whole island into a murder world. And he basically forced them to fight to the death, which sounds pretty cool. And that actually ties into one of the ideas for this character in the Boot or Reboot segment. But we'll get to that in a minute. His basic appearance is just like a think like a carnival operator, I guess. He's like average height, kind of a squished potato-y face, curly red hair. He usually has like a big smile, like he's really not quite a Joker smile, but he really plays it up. Like, I think he basically has two personas: his real self, who's pretty like cold and calculating and just a little bit psychotic, but then when he's Arcade, which is still psychotic, I don't know if he actually flips between two modes, but he seems to really play up the comedic, like this kind of comedic persona. And I guess to him, like when he's operating his murder world and he's trying to kill his victims, to him it seems like it's some kind of performance or something. And he's usually wearing like a white suit, polka dot tie. It's usually yellow with red polka dots or some variation of that. Like, there's not a whole lot to his design, but like, it gets the point across. But let's jump right into the Buddha reboot section. Okay, so for Arcade, one thing that came to mind, like, I don't have an idea for an actor to play him, but when I looked into this character, I knew this character a bit already, but as I reapproached this character, for some reason, Jim Carrey's rendition of the Riddler from Batman Forever kind of sprang to mind. Because I think that, and I'm not saying Jim Carrey should do it, I'm just saying that if someone took on this role, whoever did it, that would be something to kind of look into for inspiration, I think. Because it was, like, really over the top. Like, that version of the Riddler was, like, completely off his nut. And I think if you took that and kind of maybe toned it down just a bit. Or actually, no, I think you... Actually, no, I would take that back. You should probably play that up. Because considering how Arcade operates, I think if you had him, like, over a loudspeaker, you know, you've got whoever your hero is running around Murder World, and you just have that annoying, shrieking lunatic just taunting you the whole time, I think that would kind of add to the tension a bit. Like, you know, your hero's running around, he's just, like, trying to survive, and there's this loud-ass lunatic just, like, squawking over some speaker system. It would help, it would serve the story. As far as looks go, I guess, like, you could, I mean, the costume is so simple, it's just like, you know, who cares, put him in a suit, give him the tie, or give him the bow tie, or don't give him the bow tie. I guess it depends on how you want to approach him, because you can either make him go, like, full-on, like, carny outfit mode, you can try to streamline him a bit to where, you know, he's got, like, a fancier suit on, it's kind of, who am I thinking, like, Doctor, not necessarily gray or the same kind, but, like, I'm kind of thinking, like, Dr. Evil, that kind of suit, which is really, you know, Blofeld from James Bond, but something like that. You can either go with something like that or stick close to the comic book uniform. Like, it kind of doesn't matter. As far as what kind of movie, if this was a movie, because you could bring him back in the comics. He's kind of been around, like I said, the last storyline he was in that I'm aware of was the one from Avengers Academy. But as far as movies go, if you could make him, basically he could be Marvel's version of Saw. Because, I mean, that's essentially what Murder World is. It's just like a bigger scale death trap warehouse, basically, like they usually have in the Saw franchise. I don't know if, like, you know, Marvel, Disney, I don't think they would probably go that route. But, I mean, they're talking about trying to diversify things as far as, you know, there's a set of movies that's, you know, family-friendly and blah, blah, blah. But then, like, now that they own Deadpool, it's like, well, if you're going to keep making Deadpool movies, you can't switch them from R-rated to, like, PG-13 now. Like, it's just, you're going to lose that whole franchise. So, if they are willing to do that and keep Deadpool R-rated and do other R-rated things, then I think this could work. You wouldn't necessarily have to make it R-rated. It depends on how far you want to go. And it also depends on what hero you're putting him up against. Because, theoretically, you could make the movie an Arcade movie. And then, because it's like the Saw franchise. Saw is about really the murderer, and then the victims are just, you know, there to get killed and, you know, feed the machine. So you could do that, and then just, instead of using, like, your main Marvel heroes like Spider-Man and those guys, that would be a way to bring in some of the lesser known guys. Like, you could actually take superheroes who are currently dead in the comics or who have died in the past and never been brought back and use them for targets. And essentially the idea is after Thanos snaps his finger, this could be one of those things. This could be one of those repercussions. So half the population is gone. Most of the superheroes are preoccupied trying to stop Thanos. Nick Fury's gone. Agent Hill is gone. So you've got to imagine that most people from S.H.I.E.L.D. are gone. So you've got all this alien technology just sitting there. You've got either already existing villains or people who are kind of wondering if they could become villains or, you know, get their hands on some technology to rob banks and stuff. The world is vulnerable. You could have those people, like, start raiding S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters, not their headquarters, but, like, you know, like their warehouse and start getting their hands on some of this technology. Arcade could be one of those people, and he's setting up his first murder world, but by the time he finishes, it's like, well, the Avengers have fixed things, but all that technology is now out there. There's, like, the world is crawling with supervillains, and some superheroes, too, because some of them probably got, some decent people probably got their hands on some of that stuff and, you know, built their weapons or whatever to fight crime while the Avengers were gone. So Arcade's whole deal, for the purposes of this movie, is basically, well, the Avengers are back. They're pretty fucking strong. But there's a lot of, like, new guys coming into this. I could get people to pay me to take these guys out before they become a problem. And I think that's how you do it. You could have them trap S.H.I.E.L.D. agents as, like, a starter. He's like, okay, this works. I can build bigger, better murder worlds. I'm charging $1 million per kill. And it's like, you could, and as a matter of fact, well, this might be too big for the Netflix shows, but you could potentially use Arcade for, I think he would fit better in the Punisher series on Netflix, but, you know, that's a whole nother thing. I don't know if they would do that, but it's an idea. But back to the movie idea, if you took I'm trying to think of like a dead hero, not recently dead, but like, I don't, who's died? So many, they come back so quick that it's just like, I can't remember who's actually currently still dead. But anyway, okay, so I can't think of anybody. But, you know, take the smaller scale guys that no one's really going to care about and throw them at Arcade, but make it interesting. Like, don't just, you know, make it like some B-movie slasher thing. Like, kind of build these guys up. Make them feel like, you know, oh man, you know, I really want to be an Avenger someday. I want to get out there, show us a little bit of their successes, and kind of give us an idea of their potential to be a threat to the criminal element. So it's just like, you know, kind of make, even if they were kind of lame, maybe keep one of the lamer ones. So like, it when or if they die in the movie, it's like, oh, okay, it's like, whoa, he got diced in pieces or whatever. It's like, you know, it's a little amusing then, but then when one of the one of the better characters is in danger, then we are like, okay, now we care. It's like, you know, this is a character that I kind of want to see make it to the end and get included in later MCU films. But the idea is like, well, you know, it, keep it up in the air, because with these characters not being already part of the like Avengers line or being built up to be Avengers necessarily, it leaves it open for anyone to die, kind of Game of Thrones style. And I think that would be kind of your key to building that kind of franchise. Like, basically, I mean, I guess you could call it, I guess you could just call the movie series Murder World. And then each movie is just like, you know, a different murder world, different set of heroes. And I think one of the things Arcade does is sometimes when he gets captured, it turns out it's a robot, so you could do that. You could actually have him be caught and killed or something. And like, he self-destructs one of his murder worlds and gets caught in an explosion. And then like, it turns out he's got a robot replicant that's taking over for him, or something like that, or someone else takes on the name Arcade. Because, he's not that big of a character. Like I say, he doesn't really have that deep of a backstory at all, really. So if you replaced him with another character or actor to keep the series going, kind of like in Saw, it would work, and I don't think too many people would complain about it. Another possible idea you could do, if you didn't want to do like a Saw franchise with this character, you just want to do like a movie, with Marvel now owning, like I said, Deadpool, and they've got the X-Men and Fantastic Four back, it seems less likely that the New Mutants movie, the horror one that Fox was working on, is gonna get released. Like, that's kind of up in the air right now. But if it doesn't get released and Marvel decides they still want to do a New Mutants movie, I think you could use Arcade. Because it'd be kind of the same concept that Fox was working with, except now it's, well, they were gonna use Demon Bear, which I, if you're a comic book fan and you've read, let's see, the last time, I don't know, the last time I read about Demon Bear was in one of the issues of X-Force, the one where it's Wolverine's Black Ops team. But anyway, like, I know what Firebear is, and I'm sure some of you do too, but I think with Marvel owning the New Mutants again, instead of using Demon Bear, you could use Arcade. And it would still have, it wouldn't have the supernatural horror spin. It would be more of a, slasher murder horror spin. But I think it still worked. You've got this team of young, inexperienced mutants, which could potentially be a threat, as they would eventually become X-Men. And, you could play up the whole, what was that group called? Heroes of Humanity, that mutant hate, one of the various mutant hate groups could be like, Arcade, we've got to cut this mutant population down. And it's like, okay, well, I'll make a trap and try to, I'll watch them, see what their weaknesses are, make a trap, catch some of them, lock them in this murder house or warehouse or whatever, and get rid of someone. It's going to cost you $1 million. You're like, well, we've got the funds, we're the support. We can get you the money, kill these mutants for us. And I think that could work if you want. I mean, if you just wanted to do, if you wanted to use Arcade, but you didn't want to dedicate a series of movies to it, that could be your, one shot. Do New Mutants, use Arcade, and I think it can be a small, and it can still be a smaller budget movie, kind of like Deadpool. I guess I would push towards rated R. But you could probably get by on a PG-13. And definitely, I know it seems kind of like predetermined, but like, I feel like someone should die. And I don't think it should necessarily pick some random lame character to put in there to kill. I think whoever you kill needs to be as equally developed as all the other characters. Like, everyone. Every one of the mutants used in that movie should be built up equally, so we care about all of them. So when one of them, if one or more of them dies, we care. Like, don't just pick one of the lame X-Men that died, or like, oh, good example, Doug Ramsey, Cypher. Yeah, don't put him in there just to kill him off, because no one's gonna care. Like, so just I would say pick. Actually, I would say use the same team that Fox was going to use. Maybe like a few more, throw like a one or two more in there, because I think all of the ones that all the members of the team that Fox were going to use, I think should eventually, like, once Marvel starts doing X-Men movies, I think they should all get to grow into being X, like a main X-Men team. Another thing you could do is Spider-Man. I know we've got Tom Holland currently, but we don't know how long that's going to be. I think he's got the next Spider-Man movie, Far From Home, and then one more, which I think I don't know if that's Avengers whatever 4. Yeah, I don't know if that's the next Avengers movie, the follow-up to Infinity Wars, or if there's actually going to be, you know, Spider-Man Far From Home, the next Avengers movie, and then another Spider-Man movie. But he doesn't have that many movies left. I don't know if Sony's going to give I don't think Sony's going to give Spider-Man back to Marvel ever. So we don't know how long that's going to be. I think they're eventually going to gear up to set up a Miles Morales universe. Or with the Enter the Spider-Verse movie coming out, the animated movie that Sony's making, which stars Miles Morales Spider-Man. And, I mean, it's got every Spider-Man in it, basically. But he's like the main Spider-Man of that story. I think maybe Sony might be gearing up to do a Spider-Man universe with Miles, and they may give Peter Parker Spider-Man back to Marvel. And this is just my speculation. This isn't, you know, I don't even think there's a rumor like this floating around, but it's one of those potential, just, you know, I'm speculating. But regardless, I think Miles would actually be a better opponent for Arcade if you did that. Like, or a good, if Marvel or Sony makes a Miles Morales Spider-Man live action movie, I think a good first villain would be Arcade. Because it would basically be like in the comics, where some of Spider-Man's villain, like Peter Parker's Spider-Man's villains, kind of jump on Miles. Where it's like, oh, another Spider-Man? Well, we already have a hard enough time with the original one being a pain in the ass. We can't let this new one show up and, like, you know, put more pressure on it. So we'll squash this new kid before he gets his feet, you know, his footing. And I think a group of them get together, like, hey, let's gather up $1 million. Let's get the Psycho Arcade on it. Because if he blows it, you know, it's no big deal. It's not going to hurt any of our, you know, it's not going to bring anybody down on us necessarily. They'll just think it was him. Or another way to play it is Arcade gets hired to get Spider-Man, but he catches the wrong Spider-Man, not knowing that there's the Peter Parker one and the Miles Morales one. He catches Miles, and Miles is like, I'm the new Spider-Man. And Arcade is like, all right, whatever. A Spider-Man's a Spider-Man. I'll get the other one later. And so Miles is stuck in this extreme situation. He's still kind of new to this. You can start the movie and establish that he's fought at least maybe one of Peter Parker's other villains, or one of his own original ones. I don't know about doing two villains. You could either have, if you do a Miles movie, you could either have his first villain be the Prowler, which is his uncle. I think that would have some emotional weight to it. I think it'd be an interesting story. And then for the second one, have it be Arcade, or, you know, reverse that and have the second one be that. It depends. But I think Miles versus Arcade would be not necessarily more interesting than Peter versus Arcade, but I think something about that dynamic, I feel, works better with Miles. I think just because he's younger and more inexperienced. And I know currently the Tom Holland Peter Parker is still kind of young. I mean, and inexperienced, but, I wouldn't say inexperienced anymore. I mean, after, you know, trying to fight Thanos, you know, that's kind of a quick jump, but you know what I mean. You could also, if you don't want to use Miles, and with Marvel now owning X-Men again, you could actually do the Spider-Man and X-Men team up versus Arcade. And I guess that would probably fall under a Spider-Man movie. But I guess, again, with X-Men being back with Marvel, you could do one of your X-Men movies and have them team up with Spider-Man. Because I think, because they're kind of the same age. If you use the cast from the last X-Men movie, if Marvel decides to keep them on and not replace them, which seems like the thing to do, it's like, well, I know they would technically still tie into Fox. You know, people would be like, well, you know, that's the cast of X-Men that Fox picked. Marvel Studios pick their own cast of X-Men? But it's like, well, you know, you've already got them, and you know, people already recognize that cast as the current group. So it's like, you know, why not just keep those actors and give them a better movie to be in? But I think if you did an X-Men movie where they team up with Spider-Man, one, that would help tie them into the Marvel Universe. And with that group of X-Men being close in age with the current version of Spider-Man, I don't think there would be, you know, I think they would be able to fit together well. As far as team-ups go, you know, they're all kind of close to the same age, roughly the same level of experience. I think that could work. I feel like this is like everyone's default when it comes to playing like just an insane, just off the wall character. But it kind of occurred to me just now, as far as like who would make a decent version of Arcade. I hate to say it, but Willem Dafoe kind of comes to mind now. Like, I didn't think about it before, but I was just like, well, now that I've been talking about Spider-Man, I'm just like, you know who did a really great job playing like just an insane sociopath? Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin in Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. And I'm like, you know what'd be weird but kind of cool is if Willem Dafoe played the first villain for the first Spider-Man movie when Sam Raimi directed it, and then like he also plays the first villain for Miles Morales' Spider-Man when, you know, whoever directs it, that's irrelevant, but like, you know, he plays the first villain for two different Spider-Men. I mean, I know he didn't pop up in any of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, but like, I think that would actually be pretty cool, especially if they somehow talk Sam Raimi into coming back to direct the Miles Morales Spider-Man, and they got Willem Dafoe's like, well, can you be our first villain again, but this time you're playing Arcade? Like, that would be, I mean, I'm not saying like this has to happen or like, oh man, that's the ultimate, but like, I think it would be funny / kind of cool. Another thing you could do, which I know, I feel like I think that's part of the benefit of Arcade. Like, I was going to say that there's not much to him, but I think that's why you can kind of, it gives you more wiggle room, because he's not locked down to a really tight, consistent backstory. And one of the things you could do also, if you brought him into the movies, is give him that backstory. You could base, because I mean, since he doesn't really have a solid one, you can make his backstory fit within the context of whatever story you're putting him into. And again, because, you know, I don't think there would be too much, if any, fan backlash, because it's like, well, it's Arcade, you know, like, what do we actually know about this guy's history other than who he's been up against? So as a writer, you wouldn't have to fit into any kind of predetermined confines as far as like, you know, where this character's from, what his motivations are. You could basically write what his motivations are to serve it, the better service whatever story you're writing. That being said, another thing you could do with him is you could take, as again, I'm still talking about movies, you could take the storyline from Avengers Academy, the Avengers Arena story, and obviously I don't think in the MCU there's any kind, I mean, they could always throw it in there and like, what, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, and be like, hey, there's actually we set up an academy to find like young gifted people and train them to be Avengers. Like, they could always retroactively throw that in, but as far as right now, there isn't one. So you could basically, you could take that storyline but tweak it, and, well, I wouldn't say make it an Avengers movie. I don't think Arcade is big enough for an Avengers movie. And with that storyline, it's like, look, we've already kind of seen the Avengers fight each other in Civil War, so let's not rehash that. But you could basically, like, team Arcade up with other villains who kind of rose up a little bit after the Thanos snap. They lure the Avengers to this island, and through stolen technology, they basically built a dome like the one in Wakanda in Infinity War. Infinity War. And they built that dome keeps them from escaping the island. And now it's like they're all kind of split up into, you know, two-person teams or by themselves, you know, however you want to play it. And they basically got to survive this island, get to wherever Arcade is, shut it down. And I know that seems kind of, you know, Avengers movie is usually bigger and they go all over the place. I think at this point, it would be okay to do a kind of confined movie, like a, not a bottle episode, but, well, I guess it kind of would be that, but, you know, where they're stuck in one location the entire duration of the story. But I think you could get away with that now, especially after the next Avengers movie kind of wraps up the Infinity War story. I think you could start doing that, especially if you're throwing it. I mean, because the roster is going to change. And I think this would be an interesting way to build up whatever the new team is. It would be an interesting way to kind of show us what that new dynamic is. So it's like you throw this team to, you know, you have whoever the new Avengers are, you throw that group on a death trap island where they all have to survive. And it's like, well, depending on how you split them up, it's like, you know, we get these different interactions, someone from the old team with someone from the new team. And I think through surviving this, you know, it would help build them as a team. So by the end of it, it's like, well, you know, some of us haven't worked together before, and now we've survived this thing. We're kind of starting to feel like a team now. So whenever the next Avengers movie comes in and they just come in, start kicking ass. It's like, well, okay, we saw them survive this hellish island situation in the last Avengers movie. So for them to start off the next one just like kicking ass and working like a well-oiled machine, it kind of makes sense. Because we can assume like in between the two Avengers movies, there's obviously going to be solo movies and stuff. So it's like, okay, there's been time for them to be on Avengers together from that first point of reference going up against Arcade. So it's like now, well, you know, they're good to go. Now the only thing in their way is the next challenge, and whatever the next villain is after Arcade should challenge them in some, like, okay, so they're a team now, so wherever the next person is should challenge them on some other level. And it shouldn't be like, well, I'm going to break the team up again or something like that. It's got to be something different. I think you could, like, well, let's not kid ourselves here. Like, every character that I talk about could basically be rebooted anyway. Like, I wouldn't talk about him if they couldn't. But I think Arcade, like I said, because of his lack of backstory, can work in a lot of different ways. Like I said, like I mentioned before, there's been at least two different cartoon versions of him. I don't know if he's dead in the comics, but, you know, bring him back again. I think the Avengers Arena storyline was a good idea. I'm not sure who the writer was on that one, but, like, that was a good concept. That was a good use of that character. I don't know if you brought him back again. I guess the idea for Arcade is the murder world. That's kind of what's more important. So I think if you could come up with a cool concept for one of his murder worlds, then you write a story around that. Obviously, the characters are the important thing, and like how they handle the situation. But I mean, as far as like concept wise, because like in Avengers Arena, he had a whole island. I don't think you could do that again without it seeming, you know, too samey. So I guess murder world on a moon base? I don't know. Murder world in another dimension. Like, he somehow gets dimensional technology and maybe he gets his hands on one of the Infinity Stones and crafts some kind of other dimension where the entire dimension is a murder world. I don't know. You could figure out something. And you could probably bring him back. He's not a character that should probably reoccur too often. I think he's kind of so one note that, like, he can't be that recurring. It's just, and then, like, the whole logistics of him building these freaking underground lairs that are giant death traps. It's just like, dude, I know you charge $1 million per kill, but most of the time, you never really end up killing anyone because it's like, you know, Spider-Man, you obviously didn't kill him. Captain Britain, X Factor, like, they're all still alive. So I guess, you know, there's a no refund policy, but still, it's like, dude, I don't think, even, and then with your family's fortune, like, I feel like after the second Murder World, you probably tap the bank on that one. So, you know, it's just, yeah, you start thinking about the logistics of all these death traps and, you know, robots that he puts in there, and the engine, the time to build these things alone seems staggering enough, let alone the cost of building all these things. So it's like, yeah, just give Arcade a breather before you bring him back again. And then when you do bring him back, it's probably, as far as comics goes, like, it's the next Murder World's got to be, you know, you got to up the ante each time, which probably gets harder each time, but, you know. Other than that, I don't really see too much success as far, it could work, but, like, I think when they utilize them in the comics, it's good. It's basically like, okay, someone comes up with an idea where Arcade comes back, and it's just like, okay, here's this one story, and then you're done with him. He's not like Green Goblin, who could, like, be a constant threat. I think he's just like he's basically a novelty villain, where it's just like, you know, I wouldn't even say whenever he's necessary, but I guess when it's like, hey, someone's got a cool concept for, like, a death trap, we'll throw Arcade in there as kind of a, I don't really want to use the word filler, but he's there. He's kind of like a filler villain till, like, a bigger storyline or plot element comes into whatever superhero comic they throw him in. Other than that, like, I would say reboot him, but I would say bring him into the movies or the Netflix TV shows. Or I think Hulu has a show, The Runaways. Yeah, I guess it could work there too if you wanted. I mean, that's the Runaways comic series has a kind of a set storyline, you know, beginning, middle, and end. But it's, you know, it's TV. You could throw in an episode or something, do a two-parter or whatever, and then just get back to the main story. I think there's also Fox. Well, there's two. There's Legion, but I don't think he would fit into there at all. And I like what they're doing. Like, I finished season one a couple of months ago of Legion. Season one was great. Like, there was a few minor flaws, but nothing so big that kind of, like, took me out of it or made me want to quit watching it. Season two is out, or at least it started airing. I gotta get on that. But that other show, Gifted, I think. Yeah, Gifted for FX. Maybe you could throw that one in there. I think that one's pretty tied down to, like, I think they pretty much got their tone and everything kind of set in stone. So I don't know that he would fit in there. Again, I would say just like one episode or two-parter thing, and then get back to, you know, whatever story they're running. And again, like, as far as the Netflix shows, I think he would probably work best with the Punisher, because I think, you know, with him being an assassin for hire, it's just like, look, either the Kingpin or, you know, somebody who want, there's enough people who want Frank Castle out of the way, where I think they could be like, well, let me hire this guy, we'll trap him so he can't get out. And he can't just, like, shoot his way out, so he'll have to, like, use, you know, he'll have to think his way out of it, too, as well as surviving. But then again, you kind of want, well, I guess you don't have to have someone with superpowers, but, like, you know, it feels like, you know, he's just a normal dude against, like, all these death traps. It almost, well, you know, if Indiana Jones can do it. But I don't know, I just feel like it probably would work better with the Punisher. I don't know about throwing Daredevil in there, and maybe Iron Fist, because the Netflix version of Iron Fist is pretty weak sauce. Like, the comic book version of Iron Fist would just literally punch his way straight to where Arcade was hiding and call it done. But the Netflix version of Iron Fist can, like, this dude has to sit down for like half an hour meditating and drinking green tea before he can even summon his Iron Fist. So, like, I don't know, he'd probably die within like the first half hour. Maybe Luke Cage or Jessica Jones, but maybe Luke Cage more, because I feel like Luke Cage has enough enemies, and he's well known enough where like someone would probably try to set him up like that. Jessica Jones kind of plays it low key. So while there's people who are aware of her, I can't imagine too many, like, she kind of stays out of the way unless she's dragged into something. So I don't imagine too many people being like, let's go after Jessica Jones. They probably go after Luke Cage. He's probably the bigger threat to like criminals in New York. I think that's about it. I think I pretty much tapped the well. If you have any ideas for Arcade, like, or just any other characters you want me to dig up, you can hit me at my email at comicobscurapod@gmail.com. I'll probably add in a letter section if I ever start getting letters. So, you know, send me whatever, just ideas you have for a character, even if they're not obscure, and we'll talk about it. Like, I'll read it out and see what you got. I guess I'll finish up with like my editor section. I guess it's just my editor, because it's just me anyway, so it's like I edit this, so I'm the editor. So for my editor section, it's basically just like closing thoughts and anything new I found that I thought was interesting. So let's get into that. So I found out there's a new Sherlock Holmes series coming out soon. I want to say, like, my favorite one is the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock series. Well, I don't know about that last. The last season was good. It's the last episode that I was kind of like, it started out great, but then it got kind of weird. I don't know, but that's my favorite one still. I like Sherlock Holmes as a character in general. It's Sherlock Holmes, then Batman, then Poirot, then, well, I think that's it. I mean, as far as my favorite detective. No, actually, before Poirot, it's Holmes, Batman, Lou Archer, then Poirot. Yeah, we'll go with that. I love a good detective story. And apparently HBO is they're releasing a new series called Miss Sherlock. And apparently this one is Japanese. So as the title suggests, it's a female version of Sherlock Holmes who's English-born Japanese character. And there's a trailer out for it too. Look it up on the internet. It actually looks really good. It kind of reminds me of the Benedict Cumberbatch version, just completely different setting and, like, you know, gender swap, and she's Japanese. Like, don't get triggered. Look, if this doesn't sound like something you're into, don't watch it. But to me personally, it looks really interesting. Like, just one, I'm always hungry for more Sherlock Holmes stuff, but I like the fact that it's a different take. It doesn't make me think, well, why not just do more Benedict Cumberbatch episodes? You know, it's like, well, it's Sherlock Holmes, but it's something different. And I think it'll feel new. Even if they're telling stories that the BBC Cumberbatch version told, I feel like this will still help it feel different. Because it's in Japan. This version doesn't take place in England. It's the setting, the style, like, I'm really interested in this one. I watched the trailer, and that looks good, too. Like I said, it reminded me of the Cumberbatch version, but, like, there was something, it's kind of hard to describe. It felt like, even though she's a woman, she's Japanese, it still felt like Sherlock Holmes. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, you gotta check it out. The synopsis for the show is, the show follows the British-born Miss Sherlock Holmes to Japan, where she meets Dr. Wado Tachibana, a surgeon who has just returned from a medical mission in Syria. The two women spark a friendship and become partners in solving peculiar, perplexing crimes. Miss Sherlock retains the essential qualities of Sherlock Holmes as the investigators employ insightful observation and reasoning skills in their iteration as strong women. The show will be available to HBO's U.S. subscribers across on September 1st, 2018. So it's already out. I'm not subscribed to HBO, but either I will subscribe so I can see this show, or I'll find some way to watch it, but it looks good. I would at least give the trailer a watch. Oh, and I'm sure anyone who's a fan of the Venture Brothers already knows that season 7 has started. And man, season 7 is crazy. I think I'm like two, I think I fell two episodes behind, so I gotta get caught up again. But man, talk about a show that was like worth the wait. I mean, I wish we didn't have to wait so long for season 7 to start, but like, hey, it turned out great so far. So catching up on that. And I think that's about it. Like, trying not to overcrowd my list of things to watch, so it's just like I can just kind of slowly get through everything and just take it all in and enjoy it. I think that's going to be the show for this episode. Next episode, episode 5, is going to be a special episode. It's technically about a comic, but this comic was also a cartoon. So it might be a little bit longer. I'm not sure. I'm still kind of getting all the information down and putting it together. So that'll be episode 5. And I think after that, probably go back to... I don't know if I'm going to do a DC character or Marvel or whatever. And I'm probably going to quit calling it. It's like, look, I'm going to pick a character. And of course, I'll say like what flag they fly under. You know, DC, Marvel, Image, whatever. But I feel like that's not really that relevant anymore. It's about the character, not what company makes them necessarily. I mean, that of course, that plays a part of it. But it's like, you know, we're discussing who that character is. Can they be relevant again? And then to what end? So, you know, it's not going to be like, this is a Marvel episode. This is a DC episode. It's just, this is a character's episode. And they happen to be, you know, from this company. Also, new theme song. I like to thank Chad Crouch for our previous theme song, but I think this new one was a bit more upbeat. Like I think the last one was good, but I think this one kind of fits the show more. So I like to thank John Bartman for the new theme, Robot Gypsy Jazz. And again, you can contact me at comicbookobscurapod@gmail.com. That's it. We're done. Till next time. Bye.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?